Last time I was with you, which was in November, almost 2 years ago, I talked about what God was doing in the world and how living faith is part of that. That living faith is very much part of God's work in the world. And as we mentioned already, God has written the finale. He wrote the opening as well. And they're very similar in the finale and in the opening. There's a place, there's a people, and there's God's presence. And so that's what we look forward to, a place with a people of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, family, and in a place where God is right there. So that's what we're looking forward to eternally. And at this point in history, we are at a place, and that's on the overhead there. I won't go into all of the details, but you and I are in the New Testament part where just before Jesus returns. So how can we be part of what God is doing? You know, all of us want significance. All of us want to be involved in something that's going to count. Well, we can be involved with God in helping people look forward to entering into that promised place that God has prepared for us. And not just into that, but into the kingdom of God today. Because when you look at Jesus' words in terms of the gospel according to Jesus is this: the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and enter in. The gospel according to Jesus isn't, oh, pray and receive me and you'll have a place in heaven for eternity. That was not what Jesus was saying the gospel was. I mean, it's part of the privilege we have as followers of Jesus Christ. But God, Jesus said that the gospel is this: the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and enter in. You and I can enter in and we can live in the kingdom of God today. And as we've shared those testimonies, when you experience those things in those testimonies, isn't it like you're living in the kingdom of God? Isn't there such a joy that God is so present, so real? That's part of living in the kingdom of God. Eternal life, Jesus says, is knowing you, knowing the Father, right? Now. You can know him now. And you and I can enter into that kingdom. Now, in that kingdom, who's in charge? God is in charge, right? And that's the hardest part. Because just like you, I want to be in charge, right? We all want to be in charge of what's going on. And Jesus says, look, if you let me, if you let God be king, then you will live in the kingdom of God. And there is such joy in the kingdom and peace in the kingdom. So the privilege we have then is helping people come into that kingdom. And in some ways we would call that making disciples, right? We can make disciples of Jesus Christ. A disciple is somebody who follows Jesus, is learning from him, is studying what he said, and seeking by God's grace to live that out today. Right? A disciple is somebody who's following Jesus, seeking to live out what Jesus tells us today. So, if you want to go to slide number 5, Jesus says this in Mark 1:17. He says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. How many of you know this verse, right? And when we share with somebody who might not be a Christian, it kind of rolls off our tongue, right? Hey, Jesus says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, help me understand this a bit, and maybe I won't give you time for input. But here's, just a few weeks ago, as I've been working with some guys and looking at what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Look at that verse a minute. Come follow me. How many of us have responded to that statement where you and I have heard Jesus say, I want you to follow me? And we've said, okay, I will follow you. Most of us, I would say, have made that decision, right? We have decided to follow Jesus. Okay, so what is the consequence of that according to what Jesus says he will do? What will Jesus do when we follow him in this verse? Anybody, what will Jesus do? Okay. The challenge that it just blew my mind was, you know, many of us followers of Jesus are really not fishers of men. It was like, oh my Lord. But I want to be a fisher of men. So as I looked at that then, Jesus' part is that he will make me a fisher of men, right? If I follow him. So if we're not becoming fishers of men, are we really following Jesus? That just blew me away as we were talking about it and discussing it. Isn't that challenging? Because I don't think Jesus is a liar. Anybody think Jesus is a liar? No, I don't think so. So he says, if you follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. But many of us in church are not fishers of men. So is it because we're really not following? I think that's the case. It's like I said. Well, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you, but I'm still going to be in control, okay? And Jesus says, No. You need to leave everything and follow me. I mean, just look at the scriptures and Jesus and the gospels. His challenge, his high call to those who follow him, right? It's not you slide into this thing. It's count the cost before you enter into the kingdom. So that really made me really, oh my goodness, Lord, am I really following if I'm not becoming a fisher of men? But don't be discouraged if you're not, because we're all at different spiritual levels, okay? Even in the church, there are people here in church, I wouldn't be surprised, that you've never decided to follow Jesus. Well, that's okay. So you're not expected to be a fisher of men if you've not decided to follow Jesus yet. Maybe some of you have decided to follow Jesus just recently. And it's like, wow, I'm kind of like a baby here. You know, I'm still learning a lot, and people need to feed me. And then you grow up and you start to learn to feed yourself. And then you start to look around and say, oh, how can I help other people? And then finally, and this, by the way, is spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity isn't to fill Dean's shoes or to be a pastor or a missionary. That's not a spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is that you can reproduce. That's what a parent is. That's what maturity is. Reproduction. So are you reproducing your spiritual life in other people? Are you helping other people come to know Jesus Christ? Are you helping them becoming disciples? That's spiritual maturity. It's not that you're on the board. We often think of that. I've been a missionary as well, and you know, they're on a pedestal. They're holy. I tell you what, we are not. We're no different than you are. We're all alike. But spiritual maturity is the ability to help other people follow Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal. And so when I say you can make disciples, which is the title of the message, if we think of Jesus' promise or his commitment to us, that when we follow him, he will make us disciples of men. So from that perspective, he's all on board, right? Do you agree? He's all on board in wanting to make us mature to help other people learn to follow him. So how can we help other people follow him? And that's why I think where I want to finish up today, which is that you and I can make disciples. How do we make disciples? How do we make disciples? It really requires somebody who has a listening ear, humility. We, as people who help other people, humility. We need time and commitment to walk with somebody through life. Because that's not easy. And life today is tough. It's very hard. So how can we help other people learn to follow Jesus and become disciples of Jesus? Here's what I think it is. As a disciple, we teach other people, we help somebody, that's the next slide, help someone do what Jesus is telling them to do. If you and I help somebody else do what Jesus is telling them to do, That's making disciples. So what does that mean? Well, first of all, it means that people need to determine what Jesus is saying to them. And seriously, I think many of us struggle with that. What is Jesus telling me to do? Right? Because there's so much stuff out there. So what is Jesus telling us to do? How about if somebody came into your life and or you shared with somebody and say, this is what, these are the circumstances I'm in. This is what's going on. Scripture seems to be saying this and so forth. Can we help somebody else maybe hear what Jesus is saying? I think so. As we listen to them, as we give them opportunity to share and say, okay, what do you think Jesus is telling you? We can do that. We don't need to tell them what to do. In fact, that's a problem in the church, isn't it? Somebody says, yeah, I want to be a Christian. Okay, well, here's the list now of what you need to do. And we've got all kinds of things for what they need to be doing. And maybe Jesus is telling them, well, time out. You know, for us it might be, oh, you know, you need to quit drinking, you need to quit smoking, no short skirts, no this, no that, the other. And Jesus is saying, no, this person is a liar. They need to work on the lying. That outside stuff is not my priority. Right? But as a church, it's so easy to have those externals that we push on people. Because we can see those, right? But if we help the people understand what Jesus is telling them, it might be that they need to quit beating their wife. How much more important is that than not drinking or smoking? Much more important, right? I would think. So we need to help people determine what Jesus is telling them, not what we want to tell them. Oh man, it's so hard because we love to tell other people what to do, right? I do in any case. And then I've got kids and teenagers and, well, I realize that they don't do what I tell them to do. And adults don't like to do that either. And you and I don't either, right? But if Jesus is telling you to do something, isn't it a little easier rather than somebody else? So that's the first thing that we need to do is when we're making disciples is help people determine what's Jesus telling them. Because it's really what Jesus is telling them to do is the most important thing, right? It's not what I want from them. It's what he wants from them. It's what he wants from me. So the next one is then, okay, so we've determined what Jesus is telling them. The next point then is how do they think they need to respond? So Jesus is saying this to me. And as somebody who is walking with them, helping them to be a disciple, say, okay, so sounds like Jesus is telling you to do this, or this is an area that Jesus wants you to work on. Well, then let's explore. How do you think you need to respond? What do you think your response is? Right? I mean, listen to what they're saying, because they need to determine. How many of us have tried to tell other people to do things, and until they internalize it and say, yes, I want to do it, it makes no difference. Right? I mean, how many of us have said, yes, we need to go on a diet, but it really isn't so much important, so we really don't go on a diet, right? I mean, So help the people determine how they need to respond to what Jesus is saying. And then, thirdly, what are they going to do about it? What are they going to do? So you've heard what Jesus is telling you to do, or the area in which he wants you to work. You have a sense of what you need to do to respond. How do I need to respond to what Jesus is telling me to do? Now, what are you going to do about it? And it might be, what's Jesus telling them? Just an example. I want you to get to know me more. Okay. You need to understand Scripture better. All right? So how do you need to respond? Well, I think I need to have ways of looking at Scripture and maybe considering Scripture. What are you going to do? Oh, well, I'm going to memorize one verse a week. Okay, so that's a very simple one. But I'm going to memorize one verse of Scripture a week. Or I'm going to read a chapter of the Gospels every day. So a very concrete step, all right, as to what they're going to do. Now, this is the place where I think often we fall down, which is the next one, which is point two. Hold people accountable. How many of us like to be held accountable? Hand up. How many of us like to be held accountable? We don't, do we? Let me ask you a question. If I told you money is a great God of ours, if I told you you could have $1 million, here's the steps that you need to do to get there. It's going to be tough, but you can get $1 million and it's doable. Wouldn't you love to have some people in your life to hold you accountable to do that? Right? To hold you accountable to take those steps so that in a week or a month, you can get $1 million. Wouldn't you love those people who said, no, don't do that because you're not going to get your $1 million in 2 weeks or tomorrow if you're at that point. Right? Wouldn't you love those people? Do you get the picture? When Jesus tells us to do something, is it good for you? I see a few heads nodding. Yes, right? If Jesus tells us to do something, it is good for you. Might not be comfortable. Okay? What Jesus tells us to do is not always comfortable. But it's good for you. Right? Now, wouldn't you love to have people help you do what is good for you? We are such stupid people. And I'm talking about myself, okay? Why do I hate accountability so much? If somebody is there to help me do what's good for me. That's pretty dumb, isn't it? To kind of shun them and, oh no, I don't want you to hold me accountable. Right? It's kind of dumb. At least, I think I'm dumb when I don't let people do that. It's kind of like, you know, if you do go on a diet and somebody says, a spouse, says, I don't think you want to eat that because you're on a diet. Oh, shut up. Right? Why did they say that? Because they love you. They're trying to help you reach your goal. And they're not emotionally involved in that decision, right? I tell you what, ice cream is an emotion for me. I mean, it's not food. It's emotion. And my mother-in-law, who moved in with us just 3 months ago, she loves ice cream. So I've got lots of excuses to go out to Cold Stone and to go to Dairy Queen and Culver's. And oh, my goodness. So my wife does tell me sometimes, Steve, I don't think you need that. But accountability, I mean, the word is something that we don't like. But seriously, as brothers and sisters, if we truly love each other, if we truly love one another, and we see our brother or sister making choices in their lives that are destructive, are we just going to sit by and watch them do it? That's not love, is it? Now, they might not want that. It's like my kids. I mean, it's, oh, they're making decisions. It's like, oh, well, they don't want my input. Okay, they did receive it. I gave it to them. But they need to choose in the end. And all of us do need to choose in the end. But as you, Living Faith, desire to love God, to love family, and make disciples, loving family, loving each other, truly accountability is part of that. It is. And as Christians today, we just don't go there. You know, it's like in small groups. We, at the church I attend, which is Lifewater, we have small groups. And for the last 2 years, the application to say, okay, what are you deciding to do as a result of what we studied today? What are you learning? What is it going, how is it going to change your life? And then the next week we come together, it's like, how did that work for you? How did it go? That's how we grow, right? That's how we encourage each other to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because, isn't that right? A disciple of Jesus Christ is somebody who's doing what Jesus is telling them to do. We in the West, in America and Europe, we think being a follower of Jesus is believing the right things. Well, that's a part of it. But I tell you what, you look at the Gospels, you look at Acts, and the doing the right things is a whole lot more spoken about than the believing the right things. But I can believe the right things and still not do the right things. In which case, I challenge you, you really aren't believing those right things. Because if we believe something and it doesn't affect our actions, you don't believe it. Seriously. I mean, we kind of, you know, compartmentalize our lives. You know, this is what I believe, this is what I do, and so forth. God doesn't see it that way. If you believe something, you're going to do something about it. In Hebrew theology and thinking, in Hebrew thinking, believing and doing are totally intertwined. And if you're not doing something, then it's obvious that you don't believe it. So, I want to encourage you. And I don't know about yourself, but I was so encouraged to hear the sharing and the testimonies and the praying and so forth this morning. Very encouraging. I think you are doing this. You are helping each other. You're coming alongside each other, especially when there's struggles. But here's my encouragement to you. Help each other by holding each other accountable to grow spiritually. What's the next step that Jesus wants you to take? Go and tell somebody, hey, I think Jesus wants me to do this. Would you hold me accountable for it? And it might change over time, but hold somebody accountable to it. So here's two questions in closing for you. Do you have someone who is doing that for you? Is there somebody in your life who you can share with and say, you know what, I think this is what Jesus is telling me to do, or even to have the conversation with, to say, let me talk. Counseling generally is paying for somebody to listen to you, right? Because nobody listens to us anymore, right? We don't have time to listen. Do you have somebody helping you grow as a disciple? If not, I would encourage you. I would urge you, find somebody who you can talk to and be very honest with. Might be somebody of the same age, might be somebody older who can help you. You see, the person who is helping you doesn't have to have been in that situation. No, all they have to do is listen to you, help you find out what Jesus is telling you to do. They don't have to have done it, been there, done that, to help you. No, they help you find out what Jesus is telling to you. So do you have somebody like that in your life? I encourage you, if you want to be serious about your faith, if you want to become a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ, find somebody who's going to help you do that. And secondly, are you doing that for somebody else? Are you helping other people? Older generation, are you helping the younger generation do this? Are you listening to them? Are you hearing their heart? Are you hearing their pain? Are you hearing what Jesus is telling them to do? Because Jesus is telling every one of us here this morning what he wants us to do. I don't know what it is. But you have a relationship with him. And he is telling you what you need to do. Let's encourage each other and help each other grow in that area, shall we? To help people do what Jesus is telling them to do. Let's pray as the worship team comes up to close us in our song. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you for this time this morning. Your presence has been very real as people have shared from their heart as to what you've done in their lives. And so encouraging to hear Dean share the prayers that have been answered and the opportunities we had to pray for our two sisters, one going overseas and the other one with her pregnancy. Lord, thank you for the privilege of loving each other like that. Thank you for holding each other up, for bearing each other up in that way. Lord, I know that people here, Living Faith, love each other. They do. And Father, I pray that in your mercy, you would help us all to grow in our willingness and our desire to help other people and to help for ourselves, to be held accountable for our spiritual growth, to be held accountable to do what Jesus is telling us to do. Oh Lord, pour out your Spirit upon Living Faith, that there'd be a spirit of people following you so that you can make them into fishers of men. Because that's your desire. That's what you said you would do in us. I pray that you would do that at Living Faith. I pray that you would do that more and more in me and those I influence. But upon Living Faith, Father, pour out your Spirit upon this body that they might be followers of Jesus and that you will make them into fishers of men. So that the harvest will be plentiful, just as we see the grain next door that on the next field outside that's being harvested, Lord, hundredfold. Oh God, I pray for a hundredfold fruitfulness in this congregation for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.